The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along. The Thursday edition of The Ride Home. Things are looking pretty spiffy here on the Zoom broadcast. Kath, it looks like you visited a hairdresser today. Lovely.
Got a haircut, very beautiful. People. Oh, my gosh. It's such a thrill. Thank you for noticing, John. It makes my heart glad.
Very nice. Yes.
Yeah, I got a good 3 inches chopped off because it was terrible. And now my hair is all the same color.
Very nice. That's what that was the first thought. That's what I noticed right away.
You thought, wow, her hair's a different color.
Well, you were doing a little something different there during the pandemic.
Yeah, I was doing nothing, which was just letting nature take its course. And in my case, with my hair, it's not a good thing.
Right. I try to encourage you and not bring up the deficiencies. That's my job.
One of the ways that the show goes on is we try not to bring up each other's deficiencies.
No, exactly.
That's the ride home with John and Kathy.
Hey, I think everyone, if you're a sports fan, desperately clinging to some form of hope that players at this point, you know, it could be like Norwegian basket weaving competition.
Exactly.
I'd be happy to see it as long as it was live and, you know, in process. So Major League Baseball is a debacle. That's a whole other story. Mm-hmm. But everyone's thinking, okay, football is going to happen at some point. Steeler training camp is going to go on in some weird fashion, not at St. Vincent's. But we're looking for the fall and thinking NFL. Well, yesterday, Dr. Fauci, he put the kibosh on football. Dr. Fauci was, where was he here? He was at the, he's on CNN. He tells CNN chief medical correspondent Sanjay Gupta, unless players are essentially in a bubble, insulated from the community, and they are tested nearly every day, it would be very hard to see how football is able to be played this fall. If there's a second wave, which is certainly a possibility, and which would be complicated by the predictable flu season, football may not happen this year. The Fauci says this.
Okay, so Mike, this is the NHL plan, right? Is that you do the bubble.
Right.
So Fauci's saying, now listen, I mean, Gary Bettman must be loving his life because for the first time ever, everybody's saying, hey, NFL, you should do what the NHL's already doing.
Yeah, right.
That's never, ever been said before, Mike. Am I right about
that? Never the case. Absolutely never the case. And kudos to Gary Bettman for his performance. Seriously.
Yes. And you've also never said that.
No. He's obviously been booed plenty of times.
Yeah. Wow. So let's pray that it all plays out. Yeah. Now, look, I read the news today. I think it may have been the Chiefs that several players tested positive for COVID.
Yeah. We know that one of the Pens is COVID positive also. Right. They didn't release the name. Did they, Mike? Did we ever find out which one?
No, I haven't seen it. And I know.
Why is that a mystery?
I don't know why that's a mystery. But I was on NHL.com a couple of days ago, and there are numerous NHL players that that have been tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah.
Numerous.
But it's just going to happen. I mean, look how close their faces are. You think that there's no, exchange of...
Yeah.
And how are they going to sit on the bench?
Respiratory aerosol particulate?
Aspiration.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of that term? Did you like that, Russ?
Yeah,
I don't even know what I said, but it came out all right.
It's a wonderful descriptive. I hope never to think about it again.
Okay. Hey, speaking of, we talked about your trip to the dentist a couple days ago.
Oh, we're covering all the hot topics.
Yeah, we really
you're
are.
The hairdresser.
No. But I'm just thinking about, for people who are thinking about getting out in the world, it's kind of interesting to hear what it's like. Mm-hmm. When I went to the hair salon today, I had to wait in the car until they called me in.
Right.
And when I went in, there were only half the number of people that normally would be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to wear a mask, and the person doing my hair had to wear a face shield.
A face shield?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
One of those plexiglass jobbies that covers your whole face.
What did your hairdresser say about that?
She said that, it's ruining her hair, because you can imagine. It's like,
yeah.
But she said, you know, it's better than wearing a mask. So they're happy to do it.
Okay, fine. Is it kind of like a welder's mask? Right? Yeah. Just some big, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot like that, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, anyway, I saw a story in the Wall Street Journal last week, I think it was. I thought it was so interesting. I think I'm going to post it on our Facebook page, The Ride Home with John and Kathy, because it's kind of a photo essay on how similar we are to the people who suffered through the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic.
Also,
you know, you kind of think that, you know, okay, well, it's 2020. We're so much more evolved. We're so much smarter. We're so much more sophisticated. You know, everything is new. Well, it's not really. If you go back and look at how Americans handled the 1918 flu epidemic, it's a lot similar to the way it is now. So you and I have complained, John, over and over about the amount of Facebook medicine that we read, right?
Yeah.
So people who have no training whatsoever in anything clinical, anything medical, are online. All of a sudden, they're like virology experts. Right.
Some guy was a roofer last week. Now he's an epidemiologist.
I mean, like, how did we get to this?
Oh, that's
point?
Good stuff. Okay.
Anyway, but the Spanish flu in 1918, get a load of this. It killed 100 million people in 1918 and 1919.
What? 100 worldwide. Million 100 people million. Yeah, 100 Seriously? Million people. I had no idea it was that high.
Yeah. So it was a tremendously scary thing to live through. But what I thought was interesting about it, and this is what the journal points out, is that there were a lot of companies who tried to capitalize on the epidemic, playing up their offerings in newspaper ads. And in the journal, they have all of these actual ads that I'm talking about.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
For example, the Spanish flu, the Indian cure is the best. Works on the fever like magic. If you get a bottle today, you can go to work tomorrow.
Wow.
Don't delay. Do it now. Tomorrow might be too late.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now listen, here's Pluto water. Straight from French Lick Springs, Indiana, America's Garden of Health, comes Pluto water, fairly bubbling with health-giving properties. It's nature's own remedy in the treatment of indigestion. But listen to this. Mm. Constipation, kidney, liver, and stomach troubles, rheumatism, and nervous disorders. Listen to this. It's on sale at your druggers, your club, your cafe, your hotel, and on trains.
Whoa, really?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it goes on and on. I mean, there are probably, I don't know, 20 of these. To regain health and strength after Spanish influenza or pneumonia, build up your blood and body with Goud's Pepto-Mangan. The germs of Spanish influenza or pneumonia, John, are very devastating in their effect. Your blood is impoverished, your vitality drained to low ebb, your powers of resistance so enfeebled that any serious chronic disease may fasten on you. So, to completely regain your health and strength, you must restore your blood to normal richness and redness. And the only way to do that is Goud's Pepto-Mangan.
Wow.
So this is wild. Like the Facebook medicine of 1918.
Yeah.
These
okay.
So people who don't have any, these are not pharmaceutical companies that there were then. There are no physicians that are associated with this. These are just people who came up with something that sounds good, might be nature's remedy. And so they were selling it.
Sure. And I'm sure the large majority of people believed, you know, that it was false, right? People were just trying to make a quick buck.
But a lot of people must have believed that they were true for there to be this many of them.
Yeah. But people will cling to any false hope. So if you see that, you kind of go, give me that, give me something. Okay. So the Food and Drug Administration has been around for a long time. 1906, the FDA was formed. But I would imagine
these things are not FDA approved.
No, right? So how do they enforce?
As is all the stuff we're talking about and people are saying on Facebook.
Yeah, but so now you can sue someone, or the FDA could say cease and desist because, you know, a large majority of it's quackery, right?
Well, I don't know if they can say cease and desist, because like with all sorts of natural remedies, they're not FDA approved, but the FDA doesn't regulate them. It's not like the FDA says they can't sell them.
Yeah, but you can't make, okay, I mean, I can't put on essential oils and expect it to cure cancer. So,
a lot of people do. I mean, I think that's a lot of what I'm seeing on Facebook is you think, okay, this remedy will keep you from getting COVID. Or if you've had COVID, this is the thing that's going to rejuvenate you.
Wow. So let the buyer beware.
And if you want to see just really cool historical artifact that I think will give you a little bit of perspective, I'll put this up on our page.
Very cool. Okay. Where's that from?
This is from the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, okay. A reputable source.
We like it.
All right. We got a big show for you today, do we not? Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk about trust, right? the elements of trust, four things that are important for us and leadership as we move forward in this country through these difficult times. Stick around. It's the Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
WORD.
Is it all right for a Christian to dance? How about drink? What about going to the movies? How about using foul language? Well, that's what we'll learn this week on Through the Bible as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us to 1 John chapter 2, where we'll discover the answers to these questions and so many more. So if you want to know how to live the Christian life and how to please God, then join us.
Through the Bible, this evening at 9 p.m. on 101.5 WORD.
As the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. This is a central theme of the new movie, Return to the Hiding Place, the film about Corrie Ten Boom and her secret army of teenagers' heroic efforts to hide and save Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Corrie's story was made famous by her book and original movie produced by the Billy Graham Association. Now, 45 years later, comes Return to the Hiding Place, the untold behind-the-scenes true story of Corrie's secret army of student teenagers' efforts to rescue Jewish people. Told by Hans Poli, one of Corrie's teens in the resistance, Return to the Hiding Place is an action-packed film of the Dutch underground's true breathtaking rescue of an entire orphanage of Jewish children. Return to the Hiding Place, starring John Rhys-Davies. Watch this captivating movie tonight with your older children at salemnow.com and save 20% with the promo code MOVIE. Return to the Hiding Place at salemnow.com, promo code MOVIE. Due to historical content, might not be suitable for younger audiences.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
Brides come in all beautiful shapes and sizes. And at URB Bridal and Formal in Bethel Park, every dress can be custom made to celebrate everyone, including hard-to-find plus sizes. High-fashion, private label designs made to order, as flattering to your budget as they are to your neckline. Enjoy a personalized, no-pressure, luxury shopping experience, complete with complimentary champagne and chocolate, and see the entire selection. Find a dress that celebrates you because you are beautiful at urbbridal.com.
Seasons of change and uncertainty can be difficult, even scary, but they don't have to control or define you. The counselors of the Grace Wellness Center would consider it a privilege to come alongside and help you replace the fear and frustration with freedom and peace. While office visits are still available throughout the area, Grace Wellness Center also offers online and phone appointments to make counseling convenient and available on your terms, accepting all major insurances at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
Trust. Man, that's a big one, isn't it? Who do you trust? How do you trust? Daniel Darling is back with us. Dan is Senior Vice President, National Religious Broadcasters Association, author of several books that we love, Teen People of the Bible, Crash Course, The Original Jesus, The Dignity Revolution. His forthcoming book is called The Characters of Christmas. Oh, wait, we already talked about that. Hey, Dan, welcome to the show. We've already talked about Characters of Christmas, have we not?
Yeah, we have. We could talk about it again. I actually have a book that's coming out in August called Away with Words. It's really about how we talk and speak online.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, talking and communicating is a lot of what you've made your career with, Dan. And I know you've been involved in a lot of different leadership positions. And you write in your piece that you feel like trust in leadership is one of the things that is most fragile and most important. Can you tell us about it?
I absolutely believe that, and I've just come to see that just in everywhere I've been, both at the local church level, at national leadership roles and denominational life, and just observing across society, whether it's political leaders or media voices. You know, it seems like we're in an era where trust is broken down at almost every level, and people just do not trust, it seems, those who are in positions of authority or influence. And I think it's a real problem. And you know, trust to me is everything in leadership. I think things rise and fall based on this, and I think there's ways that it breaks down.
So, Dan, what about a biblical idea of trust? You write about this. You talk about this. What does the Bible have to say about trust?
Yeah, I think the Bible, you know, talks about that a lot, particularly when it talks about, you know, leadership and the way that, you know, people view authority. I think on the one hand, you know, we see like in Romans 13 that God has given and delegated authority to human rulers. And that's not, you know, that's throughout the scripture, even beginning in Genesis when God delegated Adam and Eve over creation, rulership and authority over creation. We obviously live in a Genesis 3 world, in a fallen world. So, you know, on the one hand, God has given authority to human rulers. And on the other hand, we're in a sinful world, so that can be abused. Authority can be abused and misused. And in fact, you know, we've seen that across the board. So there has to be a respect for authority, but also accountability for authority. And when authorities go side, when power goes sideways, it can really be devastating on people. And so we've seen that across, I think, society, which is why I think trust as well. My thought is that when trust in authority is high, the rumors and the conspiracy theories, which will always be there, you'll always have a segment that will believe in those things, but those are typically lower. When trust is low, those things rise. Mm-hmm. And I think those two things are cyclical. So we can be upset about some of the, you know, conspiracy theories and rumor mongering, which I think in some level can be sinful, you know, for people who've got to engage in some of that traffic and some of that stuff. But that will only grow in a church, in an organization, in a community when trust of authority is low. And if trust is high, I think those things go down. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, it does. Daniel Darling's with us. He's the voice you hear, Senior Vice President, National Religious Broadcasters Association, and author. We'll talk about his upcoming book in just a little bit. Dan, one of the things that's been highlighted to me, it's like in boldface, is how important leadership and trust are, especially in the era where so many people are working at home. First of all, you have to be trusting the people who are working for you that they're actually doing their job and putting in their hours. But communication to me has just been absolutely key. I have to highlight, you know, both of our bosses, John and mine, have just been excellent communicators with us while we've been at home. We've been home for like, what, 3.5 months?
Forever.
We haven't been in the same room, any of the three of us, nor them. But they've really kept up with us and we feel a lot of support from them. Listen, a lot of my friends, Dan, have had opposite experiences. Their supervisors are like AWOL and they don't hear from them for weeks and they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. So talk about the importance of that type of communication.
That is so key. And I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, we're all kind of getting used to this new normal. I mean, we've been all working from home for 3 to 4 months. I mean, on some level it's hard because, you know, we like interacting with people. On the other hand, you know, sliding into to our office at home with sweatpants on isn't the worst thing, right?
That's
not. And I think you're exactly right. I think one of the keys to trust in leadership particularly is communication. I think communicating clearly, transparently, in a way that people can understand. I actually have 4 C's that make up trust. I think that's important. I think communication is key. Leaders don't necessarily have to be, be always writing books and essays all the time, but they need to be able to communicate in a clear way, in a way that's understandable, in words that their people get. I also think the other thing that undermines trust is character deficits. When leaders communicate values on the one hand, but then they undermine them with their own behavior. And we're in a very transparent age. So, for instance, I think some of the trust at times in police departments can be low when we see capture on video abuse of power. Or we see trust sometimes in media can be low when, on the one hand, you have reporters sort of shaming people for not, you know, adhering to social distancing guidelines, and then the camera turns and maybe the reporters themselves are not doing it, right? And so that undermines character deficits, undermine trust. I also think a condescending posture can undermine trust, where a leader gives off the sense that he is better than the people he's supposed to lead, that he's above them and he's not one of them. that he's of sort of a different class. I think that undermines trust in such a way. There's a way to speak to people, and you can even be a leader who is prophetic at times to your own people, who is challenging them, but you can do that in a way that also makes them feel like you're one of them, and you're leading them along, you're shepherding them along a path. I think we see too much leadership now that is almost like talking down to people in a way that, you know, we'll just reject and they don't trust. And I think the fourth thing is a creep of mission. When people sense that the organization or the church or whatever is kind of off mission, like, why are we doing this? This is not part of what I signed up for. And so those are things that undermine trust. I think if you flip those are the things that build trust.
Right. So, Dan, as you talk about these things, about the communication and the things, you know, that character deficits, that, condescending posture and the creep of the mission, I mean, those things, those trust issues, they're the same for corporate America as they are for marriage or for friendship, right? I mean, it's all mm-hmm. key about who you're with and how you surround yourself with good people. And hopefully those things are known, whether they were learned, you know, through your parents or learned through seminars.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think some of it is obviously we can learn and grow through, you know, leadership books and some of the material that's out there. But I do think a lot of it is, you know, through experience, leading actual people, through listening to people, through conversations. I think it's character as well. I think, you know, character will always catch up with talent, yep, right?
For sure.
And so there's times that you can fake it. But at some point, as a colleague of mine used to say, you know, when your talent outstrips your character, you get in real trouble, right? Mm-hmm. And the things that in an organizational culture, the things that are red flags in the beginning that make us wince will, if they are not addressed, will become full-blown issues and scandals. You know, character is undefeated. It always comes back to bite us. And I think we're seeing that on a national level, local level, everywhere. And so I think that that's really important. But, you know, these are things that cannot necessarily be learned in textbook. I think they have to be experienced and seen and modeled for people in terms of good leadership.
Dan, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Before you leave us, though, tell us about this new book coming out.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning it. It's called Away with Words, and it's from B&H Publishers. I'm really excited about it. I really wanted to have a book that really talked about how Christians should interact online. I mean, there's a lot of good books about screen time and digital Sabbaths, and that's all important. But this is a book understanding that we're always going to have the mediums to communicate with. Like, the internet's here to stay. Social media's here to stay. So how do we as Christians interact in this way? How do we have a distinctly Christian way of speaking? And so I will talk a lot about cancel culture. I'll talk about, you know, what the Bible talks about our speech and how we speak. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Really how we should think about the way we read news and share things and, you know, cancel culture, all those issues. So hopefully it'll be a help to the Christian community.
Dan, thanks an awful lot. Always a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate what you do, and y'all are really serving the kingdom with the work you're doing every day on the radio.
Thank you so much.
Terrific. That's Daniel Darling, Senior Vice President, National Religious Broadcasters Association.
You can find Dan on Twitter, of course, and all throughout social media. He writes and blogs on a regular basis. Okay, Kath, trusting.
Mm-hmm. Trusting. Are you trusting people who are telling you it's time to return to work? That's what we're going to talk about next. If you've been working at home and you're not going to be soon, stay tuned to us.
Got milk? We sure do. Hi, it's me, Marcia, from the Springhouse. And boy, do we have milk. That 130 cow herd of ours just keeps on producing. They don't give one hoot about a world health pandemic going on. Come on out to the Springhouse in Washington County, Pennsylvania for farm fresh milk that we pasteurize, homogenize, and bottle right here at the Springhouse when my brother Sam brings it over the hill from the milking barn. We share a lot about our homemade meals and baked goods, but cows are the heart and soul of our dairy farm and country store. Store to say thank you for your unwavering support during these uncertain times and to lend a helping hand to our customers. We are offering all three kinds of white milk at a huge discount, $2.95 a gallon, as long as we can keep up. Our family is so blessed by so many folks stopping by and thanking us for being open, and we are blessed to be open. Let us share a little bit of our farm with you. 724-228-3339 or springhousemarket.com.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all. The lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, they do too. So whether you stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store, a Napa Auto Care Center, or visit Napa online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Trip to Europe. Visit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums. Go skydiving. Okay, so you know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune into Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Kenodic and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group Saturdays at 10 a.m. to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do the things you've always dreamt about doing in retirement. Listen every Saturday morning at 10 to Your Retirement Blueprint with Accurate Solutions Group. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
Listen on your smart speaker, the Word FM app at wordfm.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. In the car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
Tonight, a shower or thunderstorm in spots this evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low 61. Tomorrow, humid with periods of clouds and sunshine. A shower or thunderstorm in the area in the afternoon with a high 78. Saturday, humid with some sun. A shower or thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon with a high of 82. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Gregory Patrick.
Okay, so in our last segment, we were talking about working from home. This is like we're going on 4 months, and I think that's true for a lot of people. So if you're not in the service industry and you find yourself, you know, working in office buildings, more often than not, most likely, you're staying at home. I mean, I was out this morning during rush hour. There's no rush hour. There's hardly anybody out at all. So here's the deal. Half of American professionals are reluctant to go back to the office, citing health concerns, even as state and local governments begin to lift lockdown orders, giving more workers the green light to return. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention last month released recommendations for companies as they plan to bring back workers. Now, there was a survey done, and the survey was done in the first week of June, and a company, 1,500 people were surveyed by remote. And of those 1,500 people, more than half of those people said, I'm in no hurry to get back and happy to be here. Hopefully, I'll wait until there is a vaccine that's been given. But until such time, more than half people who were asked are happy to stay home.
Okay, so 1,500 people surveyed, and what's the percentage?
More than half, 54%.
Are nervous about going back.
54%. Yeah. Uh-huh. So they're saying, okay, so we've talked about this. Maybe this is a shift in mindset that large corporations, I mean, Facebook has already done this. They're saying, don't come back for the foreseeable future. So what does that look like if your workspace is now, right? Or it could be a reward. Come into work whenever, you know, you're feeling great and there's like a special thing for you. I don't know, some kind of enticement.
A special project or something, you mean?
Yeah, maybe so. Or, you know, a bump in salary or a bonus or something like that. right? But I mean, I can understand. Quite honestly, you and I, this is kind of weird broadcasting from our spare room.
Yeah.
But we're certainly a lot, we feel a lot more comfortable, a lot safer, right? Because we're doing the show in the studio. We're so close to each other.
I know. Listen, you know, we did a segment a couple of days ago on the latest consensus that physicians and researchers have come up with about how people contract the coronavirus. But without, you know, doing a redux of that, let me just say that our radio studio is about the worst of all possible.
The worst, right.
Right. It checks off all the bad boxes about how people can get the coronavirus. So, yeah, I mean, for us, thank goodness we've become accustomed to this and we feel like we're able to do it in a way that's at least, you know, similar to what we were doing from studio. But, you know, I understand that the fear about going back, and a lot of people don't have an employer they have confidence in like we do, and John. And so that adds just a whole other layer of, maybe the place isn't safer. Maybe they don't really care about me, or like they don't, you know, they're not going to pay me. You know, I don't have, what about if I don't have paid time off or sick days? And so if I get sick, then I'm on my own.
Oh my
so
gosh.
There's a lot of things. Anyway, it made us all think, John and Mike and I, about what you all, the listening audience, are thinking about going back to work. And so we'd like to open up our phone lines and hear from you. 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. Are you returning to work? And if so, how do you feel about it?
Right. When that time comes, has the boss called? Management said, hey, get in here. It's time to come on back to work. Now, look, we're at 7 Parkway Center. Mike, you see this every day. The parking lot's pretty empty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rather empty. Yeah. And I even heard that some businesses aren't even coming back until September.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Okay, so we'd like to hear from you. If you want to weigh in, you can also weigh in on our Facebook live stream. You can watch the show unfold from our spare rooms. Log on to Facebook and go to 101.5 Word FM or The Ride Home with John and Kathy. You can see our mugs there, and you can put your question or comment right under there, and we'd be happy to read that on the air. But voices are better. So 800-320-8255. Are you returning to work? And if so, how do you feel about it?
Very nice. Do we take a break?
Let's
step away? Okay. So give us a call, right? Oh, a little bit too. We're going to talk to Dr. Rick Zimmerman, who's going to talk to us about COVID here in Western Pennsylvania. Stick around for that conversation too.
101.5 WORD,
the station with Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music every weekend.
With the best new music.
New music.
New music from Francesca Battistelli. This could change everything.
This could change everything.
Over and Over by Riley Clement. And Glorify by Jordan Feliz.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites.
Brought to you by Trinity Jewelers and Dennis Spira and Associates.
101.5 WORD.
On the weekend.
We're all thinking a lot more about staying safe these days. Windows R Us Pittsburgh is no different. When it comes to working around your home, Windows R Us remains committed to the safety of you and your family. For roofs, gutters and downspouts, siding, and of course windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can answer the call. With over 50 years of home remodeling experience, Windows R Us has earned its reputation as the area's premier exterior replacement company. And all work will be done in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines. If you've had damage, you may be eligible for a free repair or replacement. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of the highly trained appraisers. You'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry from a company that will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Why pay double? Trust the area's premier exterior replacement company, WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
As the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. This is a central theme of the new movie, Return to the Hiding Place, the film about Corrie Ten Boom and her secret army of teenagers' heroic efforts to hide and save Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Corrie's story was made famous by her book and original movie produced by the Billy Graham Association. Now, 45 years later, comes Return to
The Hiding Place, the untold behind-the-scenes true story of Corey Secret Army of Student Teenagers' efforts to rescue Jewish people. Told by Hans Poli, one of Corey's teens in the Resistance, Return to the Hiding Place is an action-packed film of the Dutch Underground's true breathtaking rescue of an entire orphanage of Jewish children. Return to the Hiding Place, starring John Rhys-Davies. Watch this captivating movie tonight with your older children at SalemNow.com and save 20% with the promo code MOVIE. Return to the Hiding Place at SalemNow.com, promo code MOVIE. Due to historical content, might not be suitable for younger audiences.
Finding the right type of care for your loved one can be a highly emotional decision. Moving your loved one to a nursing home, rehab center, or independent care may not be necessary. XL Home Care can provide a warm, family-like environment with an XL caregiver, or you may even qualify to get paid to take care of the ones you love. To learn more, call 412-212-8950, 412-212-8950. Excel Home Care, a help at home company.
Oh, Kath and I are broadcasting from our spare rooms. We've been doing so for almost 4 months, and we're wondering about that call when it's time to go back to work. What management says to you, and are you ready and excited about going back to work? 800-320-8255. Phone lines are open. Sue, you're first up. What's your opinion? How are you feeling about things?
I was off for quite a while, several weeks. I don't know, eight, I'm guessing. I went back last Monday, and it's great. It's great to be back amongst people and working. I'm not afraid at all. I'm not afraid to go to the grocery store. I don't think anybody needs to be afraid right now. But yeah, getting back to work, it's good. Everybody should just get back to their normal life. At work, I am not wearing a mask. We are social distancing. Everybody's being respectful of each other's space. And yeah, it's really been a good way to get back to normalcy.
Terrific.
Right. Fabulous. Well, that's encouraging.
Good for
thanks,
you, Sue.
Appreciate
thanks for calling.
Yeah, all thank right. you. You guys press on and enforce people getting back to normal.
I'm all for that, really. Right. Give me normal anytime, any day.
Yeah. All right, Sue. Well, there's one person who's weighed in who feels super good about it.
Yep.
All right. Well, now we have to break because we find out that Rick Zimmerman's on the phone.
Rick Zimmerman's going to join us. Okay, we're going to take a break and come back?
I guess we should.
Okay, COVID-19 in Western Pennsylvania. Dr. Zimmerman is in the house. He's back to work. I don't think he ever left work. So we'll have that conversation in a little bit. Stick around. The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
I did this weird thing as a kid. I would fall asleep with my blanket completely over my head, with only my mouth and nose poking out the side. I guess I liked the protection that the blanket offered, while still being a fan of breathing. I think a lot of us are feeling that way today, juggling how to handle the protection that our homes give us with a desire to get out and breathe a little bit. At our Faith and Family Mortgage Team, we don't have the end answer on how to best handle our current world, but we are pretty good at mortgages. If you're thinking of getting out and making that new home purchase you've been dreaming about, our company's Direct Lender Advantage can often get you a lower rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Or, if you decided to hunker down at home a bit longer and want to use that time and some of your home equity to do some sweet home upgrades, our Direct Lender Advantages may help with that too. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage Lender License number 22672.
I know you guys are thirsty. I wasn't yelling at y'all. Don't be looking at me like that.
The recent killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery have left us all reeling.
Just trying to spread a message, okay?
And the violent riots that followed threaten a nation trying to recover.
I know you guys out here doing your job.
But in Pittsburgh,
I'm not mad at you.
One protester decided on a better way.
Man, that's the ones that's doing too much. You understand? Came out here peaceful, and this is what I'm trying to show y'all.
That's the sound of Alexander Cash giving a case of bottled water to officers at a peaceful protest in East Liberty.
Y'all gotta get it right now.
Proof that the softer you act, the louder you speak. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Good job, guys.
And positive.
Way to go, Alexander. Stay positive, stay strong, and carry on. And know that at Word FM, we're listening.
Hey, are you guys open?
Yeah, we are. Come on in.
As businesses reopen across the nation, is your business prepared for what comes next? Salem Surround can help. COVID-19 brought America's thriving economy to a screeching halt. But now, local businesses are getting back to normal. Are you ready for the return to business and all that pent-up consumer demand? Contact Salem Surround.
Learn more by logging on to surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
When it comes to your child's education, do you feel like you have a partner in your current school? Or is it more like you're on your own? As you look ahead to next year, now's a perfect time to consider a quality Christian education with a school who will be a true educational partner for you and your family. Many of our area's finest Christian schools are offering half-price tuitions for first-time enrollees, like Champion Christian School in Champion, PA. Find a school that's right for you at wordfm.com/tuitions.
One of our most popular guests in this COVID-19 era has been Dr. Rick Zimmerman. We're happy he's back with us today. Dr. Rick has over 200 publications on vaccines and vaccine-preventable diseases and has led multiple federally funded research projects also on vaccines. He's practiced part-time in the inner city of Pittsburgh for over 25 years at East Liberty Family Healthcare Center. Dr. Rick, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you.
Always a pleasure, Rick. Okay, Rick, so you may have heard our last segment. We're talking about people going back to work. A caller calls in and says she's back to work. Everything's cool. Everyone's happy. No one's wearing face masks. And just go for it. What do you think?
I think there's a lot of depends in that. I think we have to be still fairly careful. We are so fortunate in Pittsburgh that social distancing in the time of we got social distancing and masks going before the epidemic. And so we're now at a 2%, 3% positivity, much lower, a third of what we were a couple of months ago. I think the summer weather, the ultraviolet radiation is helping us, but I don't think we're risk-free. And I think if you look at other places, you will see that if you're doing in close contact with people and someone enters that space and has COVID, they can spread it, particularly inside, if the ventilation systems are not good. The ventilation systems are really key. If there's good air exchange, then we have a much more relaxed, and if there's good filtration. However, if it's a room window-based air conditioner that's just kind of recirculating the same air in the room, that can really spread things. So it really depends on the layout of the place as well as how close people are.
Okay. Dr. Rick, what about traveling in the summer? You know, a lot of people are dying to get the heck out of their house. And so people want to get on the road and maybe go stay in a hotel or an Airbnb or a cabin or something like that. Is that safe?
It all depends. You're going to hear that's my theme. So we just got back from a trip to New York in the Syracuse area, staying at an Airbnb on one of the lakes, and it was great, and I felt pretty safe. I felt pretty safe because it was an Airbnb. We were the only people there. Really the only person of any significance we related to was my son, and much of the time when we were indoors, one of us wore masks and spent most of the time with him out of doors so that we really lessened the risk. And so we had a good trip. We wore masks when we went inside certain places, a restroom on the road or something like that, but did not feel a need to wear the masks out of doors where there was, off the lake, a big breeze.
I see. Okay, so what about people who are just, on a road trip, Rick, and, they're stopping at a, a hotel? What about safety in hotels? I mean, we recently heard about, the idea of the contact, the virus staying on surfaces is probably not so critical as it was once thought. Hotels, you think, are pretty safe?
I think it all depends on the hotel. So we've all have seen those hotels that had an outside corridor, and they're often the little less expensive brands, and there's an air conditioning unit, heating unit inside the room that supplies only that room. If you and your family were the only ones in that room, I think that's pretty safe. You got there from an external corridor, and if you stayed out of common areas, that is really pretty safe. It's like the Airbnb we stayed in. On the other hand, if you have a place that where you go and sing karaoke in a crowded bar, that's a much higher risk. It's because the singing is likely to generate particles that'll go 3, maybe 4 yards out, and you're in close proximity, and the air circulation may not be good. Some of the hotels are putting in HEPA filters and putting in lots of air exchanges, and others are saving money by recirculating that air conditioning for the whole place and not filtering it very well. And so it really depends on what you're doing and on what the environment of the hotel is.
So karaoke is a no-no.
Yeah, so no hotel karaoke, which is going to break John's heart because, you know, it's his favorite vacation activity, right? But so a hotel is just a crapshoot, you're saying?
I think you want to be prepared. You know, you could, I think, look and potentially talk to the hotel. But, yes, it can be, as you said, a crapshoot where you are taking risks. So if a number of the hotels I stay in when I'm traveling in the past have had those breakfast, you know, free breakfast, and, of course, who doesn't want to get a good deal and go to the breakfast? Well, you're not, if you're eating there, you're not wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. And typically those rooms can get pretty crowded. And that's a pretty good way, just like the karaoke at the bar, it's a pretty good way to be at risk. Of course, if you wore a mask, grabbed your food and took it to your room, not so much. Or took the food and ate it outside, not so much of a risk. So it's really how you interact that makes such a difference.
Okay. Dr. Rick Zimmerman's with us. We're talking about where we are as a nation and, of course, especially here, Western Pennsylvania, of COVID-19. So, Rick, we were talking about this at the top of the show. Yesterday, Dr. Anthony Fauci came out and said, hey, NFL, I'm not quite sure about you guys getting back together again. Now, if you love your sports, you're waiting for, you know, baseball, hockey, football, hopefully at some point. What do you think? If you're looking in a crystal ball, is football going to happen?
It seems to me that sports has so much money and power, it would be hard for it not to happen. But I'm not sure if they've got it, and I don't know the specifics, if they've got it well fought out for protection. Clearly, if you're on the line and getting tackled and tackling, you're in somebody's face. And so the real questions, are you going to have a bubble-like situation that the NBA is talking about, or is this more a free-for-all? We hope you're careful and, you know, we're all big men and tough. That can get people in trouble. Interesting, it's not just that. There is some biology. New England Journal yesterday found out that those with group A blood type have a 45% increased risk of COVID, and those with type O, a 35% less. So, there's, you know, some of it is also your own genes, which is something that's the first time I've seen that published.
Really? So, your blood type actually matters?
Yep. Now, is it, you know, if it's the blood type or the genes that actually underlie that, I'll have to leave that to the geneticist. But yes, there's a risk based on your blood type. So those who are type A, beware.
Okay, Rick. So we're still a long way off from trials and, you know, some sort of relief here. I mean, worst case scenario, this could go on for another year?
Oh, or more. So Pitt Plus Me, for your listeners who want to register for vaccine trials, is taking people to get on the list for it. So we might have a vaccine trial occurring in the Pittsburgh area as soon as July. But of course, that's randomized. Half the people typically get placebo and half the people get the COVID vaccine, so we can see what happens. And there's large randomized trials that will be rolling out in this year, and they're looking for volunteers in Pittsburgh. But I think licensure, if everything went great, you know, in the fastest we've ever seen something, you know, a trial in 6 months with super fast FDA approval, that would really put us in 2021 for the first doses of vaccine. That's an optimistic picture. most vaccine studies are 18, 24 months because some of them fail and some succeed. But there's enough failures that I can't believe all the 100 candidates are going to make it to licensure.
Okay. Dr. Rick Zimmerman with us. He's practiced part-time in the inner city of Pittsburgh for over 25 years at East Liberty Family Health Care Center, in addition to his career working on vaccines and vaccine-preventable diseases. Okay, Dr. Rick, let's go back to travel for a minute. You said that you personally traveled with your family to upstate New York recently. Talk about how traveling works now. Are restrooms on highways open? Are restaurants open? I mean, how was all that for you?
Well, my wife is a good cook, and so she took the food for us. We ate her snacks in the car, and she did the cooking. And my son also cooked for us one night. So we did that instead of doing the restaurants. Obviously, there is somewhat increased risk because you can't wear a mask eating. We wore masks going in the major public restrooms. They were open. Many of them had every other sink blocked off, every other stall blocked off to encourage social distancing.
Okay. All right, Rick.
We had a great time, and I think we were at very low risk because of how we handled it.
Okay. All right. Let's fast forward to antibody tests. We've talked about that a lot of times since you've been with us, Rick. You said it was kind of like the Wild West. You don't know where your antibody test is coming from and how accurate it is, and we're still not even sure what the antibody test might mean for COVID-19. Is there any new news there?
The FDA is delisting some of the authorizations for some of the bad tests, but I don't think all the bad tests have left the market. We're seeing tests at UPMC and Quest being done locally, and I imagine LabCorp's got one, but I don't use LabCorp, so I can't give you an update on that one. The antibody tests indicate an immune response, but don't tell us, are you protected? And if you are protected, for how long? We've got a lot to learn. They do tell you if you've been exposed, and that can be useful information, particularly if you're trying, well, did I have it or did I not? I was really sick for a month. So it can be useful, but no promises.
Right. Okay, Rick, so I'm reading the newspaper today, and I see that 35 people have sued Giant Eagle because these people have said, well, I can't wear a mask, and you've prohibited me from shopping, so I'm going to file a lawsuit because, you know, American with Disabilities Act and whatnot. What about that? I mean, the safety of masks, it's proven, right? I mean, it's proven to cut down on transmission. So if people are resisting and not wearing masks and now filing lawsuits, or there's the continuation of mass protests, I mean, that puts everybody at risk.
Well, it does. And so I'm not going to be sympathetic to the typical person. As a physician, I have a few people who could not, of, you know, my entire patient panel, I can think of a few people that might, but that would be like less than 10, actually less than probably 5, who really couldn't. Now, they might not like wearing masks. Lots of people. I mean, I get tired of wearing a mask. Sure. But getting tired of wearing a mask is not a medical contraindication to it. And I think it's very small numbers. I think it would be, you know, for my patients who genuinely had a reason they could not wear a mask, I don't think they should be shopping.
Hmm. Okay, at all.
Rick, stage three heart failure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rick. What about the contention of people saying that they, you know, wearing a mask isn't good for you, even if you're healthy?
I think the evidence is pretty clear from the meta-analysis where they put multiple studies together that COVID is reduced by masks, more reduced by the medical grade N95 masks, but clearly reduced by even the common or surgical masks. I think it's very clear the evidence is in.
Yeah. What about people, though, who are saying for the person wearing it 8 hours a day, that's bad for you?
I don't agree. You know, if the mask gets soiled or soggy wet, you have to put on a dry one. But just wearing a mask, you can still exhale enough carbon dioxide through the mask and inhale enough oxygen that there wouldn't be a major concern for that. And again, if you were one of my, you know, 1% most sick patients, you probably shouldn't be going out because you're really very sick. And, you know, usually those people have a very short life expectancy, right. You know, 6 months.
Dr. Rick Zimmerman's with us. So, Dr. Rick, this is well documented. Saturday, the president is supposed to meet with his supporters in Oklahoma. Apparently, it's a closed arena where he's going to be. There's going to be temperature scanning as you go in. And there's, you know, they can say, well, you can choose to wear a mask or not. It's recommended, but it's not required. That could be a recipe for disaster. And it's not about the politics. I'm just talking about safety.
You're right. It's clear fever only is occurring in about half of the symptoms of people who have COVID, have active COVID, so you're going to miss quite a few. I do think it's a good idea because you do catch that half, and you may catch the half that are spewing more because they're having the symptoms. But yes, you're at risk when you're within a few feet of someone. The general rule of thumb that I've been telling people is 2 yards is the large droplet risk, and 4 yards okay. is the small aerosol risk.
We have to let you go. Always appreciate Dr. Richard Zimmerman has been with us talking about COVID-19 in Western Pennsylvania and across the country. Thank you, Rick.
Ask Alexa to play the word Pittsburgh to hear us there. We're on your Google speaker too, plus iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. 101.5 WORDFM, Pittsburgh.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A setback for President Trump today at the U.S. Supreme Court, the court rejecting the president's effort to end legal protections for 650,000 young illegal immigrants. The justices rejected the administration's arguments that the 8-year-old Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, is illegal. President Trump today holding a roundtable discussion on the reopening of America's small businesses. He says that the impact of the coronavirus was deep, but his policies have been getting things back on track. About 1.5 million laid-off workers applied for U.S. unemployment benefits last week. The latest figure from the Labor Department marked the 11th straight weekly decline in applications since they peaked at nearly 7 million back in March. On Wall Street at the close, it was a Dow Jones Industrial Average down after a rough session today, off by 39 points. This is SRN News.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is good news. Maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs. And because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by June 30th. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is, called 844-57-BIBLE. That's 844-57-BIBLE, 844-57-BIBLE.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
Maybe it's occasional constipation.
Maybe it's not.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Maybe it's not occasional constipation. Learn more at linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. You may be able to talk to a doctor online. Visit linzess.com, sponsored by Allergan and Ironwood.
Tonight, a shower or thunderstorm in spots this evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low 61. Tomorrow, humid with periods of clouds and sunshine. A shower or thunderstorm in the area in the afternoon, with a high 78. Saturday, humid with some sun, a shower or thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon, with a high of 82. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Gregory Patrick.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along for the Thursday edition of The Ride Home. We have a brand new look here. Kath has been to the hairdresser this day.
Thank goodness,
looking pretty spiffy there, Kath.
All I can say is yay.
Mm-hmm.
Just pretty 3 inches out of my hair is gone. My hair is like all the right color. I'm a happier person.
Right. Very good.
I want y'all to know it.
Well, you look great. Was there, you went to the hairdresser, was there a COVID surcharge?
There was no COVID surcharge. All these new procedures I had to follow. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it was fine.
Really?
Amy English, who's been a guest on this program, did an outstanding job making everyone feel at home and making them feel safe. And she was wearing her face shield. And it was all a very good experience.
Excellent. Very good. So congratulations to you and Amy English for being back to work. I went to the dentist yesterday. There was a COVID surcharge.
Was there?
Yeah, a $20 COVID surcharge.
What? Uh-huh. What? So you had to pay for the virus?
Yeah, I was happy
wrong
to.
About Believe that.
Me. Like you with with your hair, I was really happy to get my teeth cleaned.
Yeah, I know. So. Like if there would have been a COVID surcharge, I would have been like, I'm just so happy to be here. Like
for
whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, so I'm reading today about movies and exercise. And in this article I'm reading, they're saying that so many people are just sitting at home and doing nothing that we are, really beyond couch potato. We are like become embedded in our couch. So the rule of thumb for this person writing the article was for every hour of television that you watch, you should exercise 1 hour.
Well, okay.
There's no but about this.
All right, sorry. Right? I was going to argue, and then I thought that shows that I'm a lug.
Right. For every hour of television, you should also exercise 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's a high bar.
That is a very high bar, which makes me think about, my viewing habits and my lack of exercise. I am waiting, of course, like a lot of people, and I know this is the movie theaters are going to open, which I will not go into once they're opened. And I think about, the big blockbusters that have been pushed aside, Nolan. Christopher Nolan, the big blockbuster coming out later this year. But the Academy Awards, they came out just this past week and they said, things are so upside down. We're going to delay the Academy Awards by at least 2 months.
Really?
So, the 2021 Oscars will go on. They were scheduled for February the 28th initially. It looks like they're saying now 2 more months down the road. So sometime in April, the Oscars. I imagine the Oscars will be Zoom Oscars, don't you think?
Well, I hope so. The question is, though, John, how can we wait that long?
What, for the Oscars?
Exactly. I don't know what I'm going to do in the interim.
It's going to be very hard. The Oscars are going to be weird because there's nothing in theaters.
Everything's weird. Every single thing's weird. I don't know what they're going to talk about. Yep. Okay, but I have something, speaking of movies, John, that might make a difference in your daily life. Now, this is not going to help in your exercise TV watching ratio.
Okay, great.
However, it might help you to enjoy your movie a little more.
All right, good. I like that.
So there was an article by Chris Cornelis in today's Wall Street Journal about creating a better movie night in your living room. Mm-hmm. Now you're thinking, look, I've been in my living room for 4 months. How much better can it get? Okay. But he does have a couple tips to kind of, I don't know, make it a little more like going to the movies. Would you like me to share them with you?
Yes. However, I will say this before you get on your list. Mm-hmm. My bar is so low.
Yeah.
I'm lying in bed watching a movie on my phone with one eye closed.
Okay. That is so sad.
So,
that is so sad.
Anything up from there, okay, that's good.
Okay, well, this is going to seem like you're going to Los Angeles for a premiere.
Fine, that's
compared
good.
To what you're doing.
One eye closed.
All right, first thing, Wi-Fi connected light bulbs so that you can dim all your lights with your phone.
That's so lazy.
Oh, listen, you're the one who's watching a movie with one eye in bed.
That's not lazy. Oh, that's necessity.
Get out of here. Anyway, so he's recommending Wyze bulbs, W-Y-Z-E, $30 for four bulbs, and it'll let you control your lights via an app.
One word, clapper. Clap on, clap off. That's all I'm saying, Kath.
The clapper.
Okay.
Listen, that was only an on or off thing. This is dimming.
Oh, the dim.
Okay. Okay. He also says that you don't have to buy a new TV to improve the picture of the TV that you're watching.
Also,
he says that's because your TV is probably still operating under the settings it had when you took it out of the box.
Oh.
So you don't have to go with the pre-settings of your TV, right? So he said for watching movies, the colors tend to be pushed all the way to the maximum. Brightness and contrast are pushed to maximum. So sometimes you get a TV that's overly bright with washed out colors. Hmm. So he said you can find the ideal settings for your television by consulting a website called RTINGS. It looks like ratings, but without an A.com.
So you can RTINGS.
Exactly. You can look up the ideal settings for your television.
Okay.
I thought that was kind of interesting, right?
That's very interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, for boosting your sound, they said get a subwoofer.
Oh, yeah. A sound bar.
Yeah. Doesn't that make a difference?
Oh, big difference. Holy smokes.
I think so too.
It saves marriages as well.
I didn't know it did.
What'd he say? What'd he say? Huh? Wait, I'm missing something. What's going on there? Yeah.
Okay. Make, as they call it, adventurous popcorn.
Adventurous popcorn?
Mm-hmm. That's going to improve your movie watching experience in your living room.
Okay. So what would they consider to be adventurous?
Well, the way we do it, which is you're not making it in the microwave or in an air popper, which are both just joy killers.
The worst.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Goodness sakes.
And do you top your popcorn with something extra special?
Well, I top my popcorn with a little white cheddar seasoning that goes
very
on
nice.
Top.
Mm, that's good. No butter?
No butter.
I'll do Parmesan cheese sometimes.
Parmesan cheese.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or salt and pepper.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. The next thing they say is that you should watch like in a little party with people who are watching the movie. I don't know if I can get into that.
I'm not doing a party. Kidding me?
Mike, you want to watch a movie with me tonight?
No. Don't come over. Stay home,
Mike. Mike doesn't want me to. Well, listen, you're answering for Mike. Now you be quiet. Mike, you want to watch a movie with me tonight?
Yeah, I'd watch a movie with you, Ken.
Oh, come on, Mike. Yeah.
I love Mike. He's
don't,
willing.
No, don't.
Okay, forget it.
All of a sudden,
right,
you guys
Mike
are both sick,
movie.
And here
he's
I am alone.
In like a week and a half. I can't possibly do that. Anyway, that's another idea. Okay, the last idea was create a theme, John.
Theme.
Now, listen, don't you roll your eyes. Now, listen. Pair the food you're eating with the movie you're watching. This can be as simple or involved as you like. And of course, you don't have to cook. If your movie's set in New York, for example, consider serving Nathan's famous hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Or if you're watching Amelie, treat yourself to macaron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's my Double Indemnity, chips and dip. Toy Story 2, chips and dip. Okay, that's my theme. My theme is chips and dip.
Okay, when you were watching the movie with one eye on your phone in your bed, please don't tell me you had chips and dip, please.
No,
okay, good. That's a relief.
No.
That was going to be an upsetting image.
Can you clarify the type of dip?
The dip? Oh,
Hell of a good.
Of course it is. Thank you so much.
I had it last night, John. I thought of you.
What? You had some dip last night?
I did. You know why? I had it in my refrigerator, my downstairs refrigerator named Johnny, because you found it for me on eBay or on Craigslist. And it was in there and it was about to expire. Oh. I forgot. So it was like a special treat.
Oh, that's very nice. Stir that little baby up.
Mm-hmm. I had to stir it up. It was
a dip.
What kind of chips did you have?
I didn't have chips. I had sourdough pretzels.
Oh, even better. That's very fun.
Very, very good.
Yeah. Were they dark pretzels?
They were the Snyder's of Hanover sourdough ones. The real, you know, super hard, salty.
Don't you love that? Delicious. Isn't that, that's so satisfying. Isn't it?
It was really, really, really good.
See, that's the theme. Sourdough and dip.
All right. So we're just giving you a tip for today. That's all I'm for.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break, won't you please? Our show continues on after that brief movie hiatus. Kath, please tell me what's up next.
Yeah, Stephen Mansfield is going to join us. He has written, in my mind, the single best book on Donald Trump. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about statues, slaves, and Abraham Lincoln next.
101.5 WORD.
Had your family ever faced hunger at a level where their life was at risk or had little or no access to clean drinking water? For children in the countries of Malawi, Zambia, and Uganda, it's a battle they face every single day. Word FM and Cross International is asking for your help to provide life-saving resources for children in these African countries to solve this crisis and assist with COVID-19 efforts. A $62 one-time gift provides food, water, COVID-19 assistance, and a Bible. You can get involved right now by calling 866-806-2977 or look for the Cross International banner at wordfm.com.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
As the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. This is a central theme of the new movie, Return to the Hiding Place, the film about Corrie Ten Boom and her secret army of teenagers' heroic efforts to hide and save Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Corrie's story was made famous by her book and original movie produced by the Billy Graham Association. Now, 45 years later, comes Return to the Hiding Place, the untold behind-the-scenes true story of Corrie's secret army of student teenagers' efforts to rescue Jewish people. Told by Hans Poley, one of Corrie's teens in the resistance, Return to the Hiding Place is an action-packed film of the Dutch underground's true breathtaking rescue of an entire orphanage of Jewish children. Return to the Hiding Place, starring John Rhys-Davies. Watch this captivating movie tonight with your older children at salemnow.com and save 20% with the promo code MOVIE. Return to the Hiding Place at salemnow.com, promo code MOVIE. Due to historical content, might not be suitable for younger audiences.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
Stephen Mansfield is back with us. Stephen has been a guest on our show over many years, a New York Times bestselling author of The Faith of George W. Bush, The Faith of Barack Obama, The Character and Greatness of Winston Churchill, and Choosing Donald Trump. Stephen is founder of the Mansfield Group, a media training firm. He is a speaker, consultant, holds a doctorate in history and literature. He lives in Nashville and Washington, D.C. And today, Stephen's here to talk to us about Abraham Lincoln, who weirdly has been in the news along with the recent protests. Stephen, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, it's great to be back with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, always terrific to have you, Stephen. Now, this story that's going on surrounding the consideration of a statue in Boston, for listeners who haven't seen the image, it's a statue that was put up in 18, I want to say 1897. I'm doing that by memory. And it's Abraham Lincoln standing over a slave who is stooping in front of him. The slave is not fully clothed. He has shackles on his hands. It's a male. And underneath the image, it says emancipation. It looks as if, from my perspective, the slave should be grateful that Abraham Lincoln has found a way to free him from his chains. That obviously is not a narrative that fits with the way we're looking at race relations in America today. Stephen, how about some background on maybe how we can think about a statue like that?
Well, I mean, obviously, when artists try to depict historical realities, they're going to have to capture things as they were at the time. And the freed slaves at the time were extremely grateful to Lincoln. They called him Father Abraham, called him the Great Emancipator, called him the Liberator, because he was the main architect of their freedom. And by the way, did so with the Emancipation Proclamation out of a covenant he made with God. I won't go into those great details, but he made a covenant with God that as certain victories happened for the Union, that he would free the slaves. So they saw this as a divine liberation. The slaves saw this as a divine liberation done through Abraham Lincoln. So if people today in their kind of extremism and radicalism want to deface the statues of and defame the reputations of everyone who either had some questions about slavery or, which art depicts them as perhaps less than an ideal circumstances, we're going to get rid of a lot of people from the history books. But I personally think this statue depicts an absolute reality from Lincoln's time and one for which we ought to be grateful.
Yeah, I'm into that. I mean, the irony is that the statue in many ways was funded by people who were freed slaves. I mean,
no,
they gave
the
first money.
I think the statue was completely funded. It was funded. This monument was erected, and I'm sorry that I was wrong with the year. The year was 1870. Okay. But here's the situation, Stephen and John. The monument was erected by the Western Sanitary Commission of St. Louis with funds contributed solely by emancipated citizens of the United States declared free by his proclamation on January 1st of 1863. The first contribution of $5 was made by Charlotte Scott, a freed woman of Virginia, being her first earnings in freedom and consecrated by her suggestion and request on the day she heard of President Lincoln's death to build a monument to his memory.
So, well, I mean, we're 160 years from people wearing chains like that, and so the image might be offensive to some African Americans today, and I understand that. I'm Native American, and I can think of some images that would, you know, make me grimace a little bit, but I'd have to realize they were historical realities. I think the historical circumstances behind this statue confirm what we're saying, and that is that freed slaves, in their gratitude, wanted to say, thank you that we're no longer like the person in this image, that because of the man standing, the slave, yes, in a servile posture, yes, with chains on, yes, not fully clothed, but that was the reality for millions at the time. And by 1870, they had moved on dramatically and were giving thanks for it. So it's a bit of radicalism in our own time that wants to erase that kind of image. And what we ought to do is remember those who actually experienced it and then wanted to express their gratitude, for which I'm, yes, I'm very grateful.
Of course. So, Stephen, with a statue like that, that is, at, you know, a center of a major United States city, is it even possible to have the conversation? Well, the statue should not be taken away, but we can provide historical context like you provided.
Well, and that's what we need to be doing more. I mean, I certainly think there are some statues that do need to be removed. I had a friend 2 years ago send me a statue from somewhere in the South, and on the inscription, it literally said that this commemorates the restoration of white supremacy, you know, a couple of decades after the American Civil War. That thing doesn't need to be around. But then there's a great deal of ignorance when it comes to Robert E. Lee, for example, who was anti-slavery. Jackson was anti-slavery, so I certainly understand, especially given what's gone on between police and blacks in custody of late, that there's some bitterness going on here, and people are, reaching for any symbol and trying to deface it. However, you're exactly right. What we need is some historical context. This is actually something that those who believe at least in the sentiment of Black Lives Matter, even if they don't support the organization Black Lives Matter, this is a statue they want to encourage. They want to celebrate. They want to say, hey, we need to be making more progress than just at that stage. And so let's keep that statue up to keep on moving forward. And by the way, let's remember that this was an act of gratitude on someone's part. So you're absolutely right. And you're talking to a guy with a doctorate in history who lectures on history in schools. So I want everybody to know more history. But in this case, that's exactly the antidote to the extremism that's going on right now.
Yes. And so, Stephen, with that, I mean, in this rush to eradicate any symbols of the past that may be offensive to people today, has there been any other time in history? And I'm sure, you know, we're all familiar with, the toppling of statues of Ceausescu or other brutal dictators.
Saddam Hussein.
Right. Right. That. But this is something totally different. These are cultural things that are being taken down. It just feels a little odd.
It should feel odd, and I'm glad you said that. I certainly do not mean in any way to diminish the strong sentiments held by my African-American friends. And by the way, my African-American family, I have 6 African-Americans in my family, and I attend a 4,000-member African-American church in D.C. So I'm not removed from some of the strong sentiments that are there. What we're dealing with is something that us historians know very well, and that is that the we've lost the sense of history. We haven't taught the next generation history. So in England, for example, and I realize they're not part of the American school system, but Churchill, Gandhi are being defamed, and there's debate about dragging down those statues. Here they drug down statues of Columbus. And so this is a result of some historical ignorance. I certainly understand that some statues need to come down, and we need to have some debate about other ones and educate. But the overall problem here is that you have strong sentiments tied to historical ignorance, and that's what's leading to a lot of this desire to defame statues like the one you're talking about in Boston.
Stephen Mansfield is with us, New York Times best-selling author of The Faith of Barack Obama, The Character and Greatness of Winston Churchill, and Choosing Donald Trump. Stephen, you mentioned a few moments ago that both Robert E. Lee and Andrew Jackson were anti-slavery. I will express my own historical ignorance by saying I did not know that.
Well, yeah, not to go back and fight the entire Civil War again, but the fact is that many of the generals who fought for the South were actually anti-slavery, but they did believe in states' rights. So they would have talked their states out of slavery if they could, but when the North, quote-unquote, invaded, they then sided with the South and fought for, quote-unquote, states' rights. Robert E. Lee was actually the superintendent at West Point. He was asked to command the Union troops by Lincoln, and he said, "No, I'm going to have to fight for Virginia." He saw himself as fighting for his home state. But many generals were anti-slavery. Now, I certainly understand the conversations that happen now, where if somebody fought for the South, they were fighting for slavery. Therefore, we don't want their statue up. I at least understand that sentiment. But when people are passionate and inflamed, it's not a time to slice and dice things historically too finely. But the reality is a number of people in the South, a number of prominent generals and prominent Southern leaders were anti-slavery. They just believed in states' rights and didn't want the North invading the South to remove something that had been allowed under the original Constitution.
So with this this new day in America, and I believe that there's a lot of goodness in this new day, Stephen, there have been calls, well, we'll take down these statues and we should erect new statues. Now, say that you were on some commission in, some township or some city somewhere. I mean, if we were to erect new statues of African Americans that should be honored, I mean, that's a good and worthy thing. And certainly there is a long list of people that we could erect statues from.
Absolutely. And I think we do need to pay more attention to what's emphasized in public art and in statues. I think that's important. And I have to say that I was horrified when I found out that there was actually a state-sanctioned statue in the South that celebrated the restoration of white supremacy after Reconstruction. I had no idea that existed. So what we need is a little wisdom and balance right now. Obviously, there's a mood going on. It's going to fade. Hopefully, it won't do too much destruction in the meantime. But yes, I think we should examine what we punctuate culturally. We should examine what we punctuate with state money and tax dollars. And then we should maybe look at getting some new models and some new examples up front, especially in front of the children. And we also, by the way, ought to be looking at our textbooks, because a lot of what's going on right now is because we haven't really told the stories the way they should be told. And so, I think there are good things happening. I don't mind saying on the air that, you know, my daughter, a Christian, and by the way, a conservative, marched with her African-American friends in D.C., not violently, but simply to say, hey, let's have some justice. Please hear us. And as I say, I have African-Americans in my family, so I'm very, very sensitive to some of what's being said, but I, of course, some of the extremes are just based in ignorance and anger that we need to allow to abate so we can have wiser discussions.
Right. And I get that, but I got to go back to where we started, which is the statue in Boston. And, you know, I'm a white girl from Pittsburgh, so I can't get inside someone else's life. But I feel like if I was African American and walked past that statue, I'd really hate it. Now, it certainly changed my mind when our general manager from the station actually sent me the information on the funding of the original statue, that it was funded solely by emancipated citizens. It certainly changed my perspective. I think that should be part of the statue for people to understand it. But it still doesn't feel right to me, Stephen. I mean, I'm no arbiter. No one's going to like tear down a statue because I said so. But that's just how I see it. What's your reaction?
No, I get that. I get that. But what we have to stay home with is this is what African Americans of 1870 wanted to say about themselves and about Abraham Lincoln. They weren't ashamed of the fact they had been slaves, and they weren't ashamed of depicting it now that they were on the other side of slavery. And they wanted to say thank you to Abraham Lincoln. So what you have then is a contest of wills, so to speak, between those of largely African Americans of 1870 and those largely African Americans of 2020. And I say that we ought to allow earlier generations to speak as long as it's not antithetical. You know, if there's a statue that diminishes women or says they ought to be denied the vote or something like that, well, obviously that doesn't need to be there. That's contrary to the core values of the country. But this statue that you're talking about in Boston is a celebration of the values of the country as expressed by African Americans in 1870. And I think we ought to honor those forebears. I consider African Americans earlier in American history to be my forebears too. And I would say we need to honor them and honor their expressions of gratitude to the country. It only ennobles us. It only makes us better. Now, again, I understand that the image of that ex-slave there in chains, looking in a servile position, looks like he's bowing to the white man. But that's not what they were saying. And maybe what we need to change is not the statue, but the lettering or the explanation around the statue, so people understand better what it's about.
Yeah, I think that would help a lot. You know, as someone who's not a historian, but someone who's interested in history, that type of context makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. And by the way, you know, everybody at that time had some attitudes that we can decry. You know, Lincoln was not certain that blacks could rule themselves. You know, he thought they should be free, but he didn't think they should rule themselves. So I guess we can put down Lincoln, the great emancipator, the one who freed the slaves, because he didn't have 2020 understandings of race relations. You see, it can go to extremes every single time. So I think there are some statues that need to come down. I think there are some that need to be better interpreted. And yeah, I think there's some new ones that ought to be put up. and I'm all for that. So I'm hoping they'll leave that statue there and that better interpret it and allow our forebears of 1870 who were African Americans to be heard. I think it'll ennoble our country.
That's good. Context is everything. Hey, Stephen, we need to step away for a few minutes. Can you stick around for a couple minutes on the other side as well?
Sure can.
Fabulous. We're talking with Stephen Mansfield, New York Times bestselling author, The Faith of George W. Bush, The Faith of Barack Obama, The Character and Greatness of Winston Churchill, Choosing Donald Trump, among many other titles. Stick around. Our conversation continues with Stephen Mansfield in just a few.
You're about to hear a commercial for a very unique mortgage team that has a very specific advantage that could save your family monthly and lifelong money. Two things you should know. One, we were started by a dad and his son and his wife and his sister-in-law, and we've grown to be a faith-focused mortgage team that's helping families across the U.S. We're faith and family at our core, and we don't hide it. Two, we've still stayed fairly small, on purpose. We're only about a couple dozen people, a makeup that we believe lets us truly know every person that calls. But we also have a big advantage. Our company is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, a reality that often allows us to get you a better rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
We pay your appraisal fees up to $500. That's out-of-pocket money you'd have to pay before closing.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage lender license number 22672.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. A partner you can trust in times of need. Featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit GreaterPGHPlumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at GreaterPGHPlumbing.com.
Hi, I'm Colonel Greg Gadsden, retired Army colonel and former garrison commander of Fort Belvoir and proud U.S. veteran. I know from personal experience that the road to recovery can be difficult. If you've recently filed a VA disability claim and have to attend a VA claim exam, you've likely got questions. Search compensation and pension exam on VA.gov for the answers you need and the benefits you've earned. Your VA claim exam. Know what's next.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for all you do. Visit Grainger.com for resources that can help as you create your recovery plan. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Moms sure do wear a lot of hats. And these days, she's wearing a few she hadn't expected, like homeschool teacher, mask maker, hand washing enforcer, social distance shopper, toilet paper finder, parent checker inner, screen time negotiator, personal space administrator, and make sure everyone's happier, safer-er, and healthier-er. And to help you appreciate her, Trinity Jewelers is now open. Like hats, the best gifts are unexpected. At TrinityJewelers.com.
Everywhere on your radio at 101.5 WORD FM Pittsburgh, at wordfm.com, the Word FM mobile app, by heart, tune in, and at radio.com.
Tonight, a shower or thunderstorm in spots this evening, otherwise partly cloudy with a low 61. Tomorrow, humid with periods of clouds and sunshine, a shower or thunderstorm in the area in the afternoon with a high 78. Saturday, humid with some sun, a shower with thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon, with a high of 82. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Gregory Patrick.
Any day when we can have Stephen Mansfield on the program, we rejoice because we like his work and appreciate him so much. Stephen Mansfield is a New York Times bestselling author of The Faith of Barack Obama, The Character and Greatness of Winston Churchill, and Choosing Donald Trump, among many others. Let me say before we move on that I think Choosing Donald Trump is the single best book that has been written about the president. It is in equal turns compassionate, sensitive, informative, and convicting all at the same time. So let me give you more kudos on that, Stephen, before we ask you about the president.
Very nice.
Wow, so would Stephen, you two travel with me wherever I go and introduce me? That's really kind.
That's very good. Stephen, I'm old enough to be to go back to the 1960s, and I was alive for LBJ, for Richard Nixon, for the Vietnam War, for all that contention. I lived in New York City for a decade in the 1980s, so was well acquainted with Donald Trump before he ascended to the presidency. All that to say, where we are right now is a very unique moment in American history. And so as you look at the president and the work that you did in your research with the book, that's been a few years since the book has been published. Are you surprised where we are in this country right now in the deep, hard, stark divisions of pro and con President Trump?
No, I'm not surprised. He is a polarizing figure. He wants to be. His psychology is one of combat. I sometimes humorously visualize him getting up in the morning feeling a little bit bored, and so he goes and picks a fight. That causes all of his energies to start to flow, you know, and all of his drive.
That's
just that kind of personality. Obviously, as a conservative and a Christian, I'm glad for some of the things he represents and some of the things that he has urged. But the problem, of course, as we all know, is that he is, he polarizes and he radicalizes and he attacks and he coarsens the dialogue. So I'm not at all surprised. I'm not surprised that there's been a bit of a drop among evangelicals in his popularity. I'm not surprised there's been a bit of a drop among Catholics and regular church attenders. But I'm also not surprised that there's been a rise in his, until recently anyway, until the recent situations, a rise in his African-American support, which was one of the big news stories of this last year. So, I'm not surprised. I think this is what he came to do. And the more radical, the more hard-hitting he is, the more his crowd rallies to him, and the more he polarizes others. So this is pretty much what I expected, although I didn't describe this exact condition, of course, before he became president.
Yeah. Stephen, what about the double whammy of the COVID-19 and the race riots? I mean, it's a lot for any country, any culture to bear. And it would be helpful to have people, and I just don't mean the president. I mean people in any type of leadership anywhere, whether you're the leader of a church or you're the leader of an organization or the leader of a family or the leader of a country, that we have people who are able to, I don't know, bring people of diverse opinion together. Talk about how the president, you think, based on your research and your background with him, views these situations.
Well, I think he gets pretty low grades for his response to both of these recent situations, and that's not a political statement on my part. I think all three of us probably, if we had a choice, would have preferred another president might have been in that role. He's just so stinking combative. And so he, as I say, he gets energized even by undermining his own generals, Dr. Fauci, his own, head of the coronavirus response. So again, not only doesn't this surprise me, but I think that Donald Trump is good with business. He's good in holding international partners to account. He exposes things that people need to know, like who's not paying their dues in NATO and how we have a trade imbalance and all, and what's happening because of people coming across the border, perhaps. But responding to crises, team building, rallying people to a cause, being Churchillian and talking about how we'll, see broad sunlit uplands one day if we continue to do the right thing. That's just not Donald Trump. So in the midst of a virus and a pandemic, he's picking a fight with the Democrats and blaming the Chinese. And that's just the man people elected. Now, whether he's going to get reelected is a huge question. But I think that, no, if we had a choice, we would have chosen another president. I think he gets somewhere between a C and a D on his response to both of these recent crises.
Right. And of course, a leopard can't change his spots. At 73 years old, the president is who the president is. And for better or worse, this is where we are. And I think, on the flip side of that, where many people who were conservatives were like, well, I'm not going to vote for Hillary. There's no way I'm going to do that.
Right.
There's just no way. So here we are right now in a very unique moment in American history. And I wonder, Stephen, as a historian, when you look back at the sweep of presidents in this very unique moment, I mean, I referenced coming in LBJ and Richard Nixon. It's the closest thing I can see to a divisiveness in this country in such a fractured way. And I wonder, when you look back, I mean, are you on the same page with that? Or this is a unique moment, but it's also America, so it's not that unique.
It's not that unique. And I think what happens with presidents is the ones we consider great have challenges handed to them that fit their gifts. Ronald Reagan battling the Russian quote-unquote evil empire, etc. It fit his gifts. It fit his rhetorical gifts. It fitted his long-term anti-communist stand. Donald Trump, had we had a war, I hate to say it, but had we had a war, I think he would have been better suited to be a wartime president. But these domestic situations like we've had, a pandemic and racial crisis that's inflaming the cities, that's not what he's suited for. So, this is America. I believe in our institutions. I don't believe any of the silliness about him not leaving office should he be, voted out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're in a real tension now between these two. And you're exactly right. Most voters like me, right of center, not crazy right wing, but right of center, yes, can't vote for the opposite party, and would prefer to have a better president than Trump. So we're stuck. And I think many people are feeling that today.
Well, Stephen, we always appreciate your time with us on the show. We appreciate your honest opinion, and you've done so much good writing. So thank you for that.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you for having me.
Yes, our pleasure. Hey, Dave, Stephen, before we leave us, though, give a plug to your latest book, because we know that's out there now.
Oh, you're very kind. I've just finished my third book for men called Men on Fire, and I'm very excited about it. It's very personal, very hard-hitting. The best price right now is on Amazon, so it's easy to get. Men on Fire, and Scott Hamilton, by the way, the Olympic champion, wrote the foreword, so I'm really, really excited about this one.
Oh, how wonderful, Stephen.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Thank
all
you
right,
so
Stephen,
much.
Thanks an awful lot. Please come back. We'll invite you on, and we'll join us to talk about Men on Fire at a very near future date. We'll take a break, come back. We've got lots more ahead. Stick around. It's hour two of The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
WORD.
Had your family ever faced hunger at a level where their life was at risk or had little or no access to clean drinking water? For children in the countries of Malawi, Zambia, and Uganda, it's a battle they face every single day. Word FM and Cross International is asking for your help to provide life-saving resources for children in these African countries to solve this crisis and assist with COVID-19 efforts. A $62 one-time gift provides food, water, COVID-19 assistance, and a Bible. You can get involved right now by calling 866-806-2977 or look for the Cross International banner at wordfm.com.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all. The lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
This is Jay Hagerman of Abernathy & Hagerman. Writing an estate plan is one thing. Having the experience to administer the estate is something else. At Abernathy & Hagerman, estate administration isn't a side job. It's what we do. You have the same goals we all do, to protect your assets, to minimize taxes, and ensure your inheritance gets to the ones that you love. How you get there, that's specific to you. So let's talk. Hagerman Law, legal help that lasts a lifetime. Visit a-h.law.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. Please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit HenneyJewelers.com. Henney Jewelers, your jewelers for life.
Ah, the copperhead snake. It hisses before attacking. But that's not a copperhead. That's the Sullivan's RV freshwater tank overflowing into their black one, which is backing into their vent pipe, making for a very different kind of attack. One that arrives just in time for taco night. It's wild out there. When it gets too wild, Progressive has your RV covered. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Talking a little earlier in the show about exercise and television. And a piece that I read earlier today talked about, well, for every hour of television you watch, you should also exercise for an hour. I mean, for a lot of people, that's crazy. Okay, so I think everybody knows this, that watching a lot of the boob tube turns you into a boob. And I don't think that's, you know, anything that's extraordinary or,
right,
you know,
a
news flash, right? So how do you do this? I mean, I saw this piece where a man spent a month giving up TV for a month and how it changed his brain and his life. Now, it trends along a predictable flow, is that him and his wife used to sit down after dinner, and at 8:30 they would sit and watch TV for a couple of hours. Then they would crawl to bed. When the pandemic hit, they were like, we can't do this anymore. We're going to instead turn off the TV set for a month and see what happens. Now, of course, you know what happened. They fell deeper in love. They communicated more. They started to read books. They took walks. they felt intellectually, spiritually invigorated. They've continued on with this. 1 month has turned into two, which is a very good thing for everybody. It just requires a little bit of discipline, does it not?
Okay.
Would you do it, Kath?
Yes, I would do it. But I don't know if I would do it now.
Right.
To be honest with you. Yeah. I don't. In fact, I'm relatively certain that I wouldn't do it now.
Now, remember, I mean, this is before like cable television. The networks would only, you know, produce a certain amount of shows. And then when late spring would happen, the TV season ended because the networks would say, well, it's summertime. People aren't watching TV.
Yep.
Well, that's not the case anymore.
You're absolutely right. When, you know, I used to spend summers on Chautauqua Lake with my family when I was growing up, and we never had TV. So I never watched TV all summer any of the years I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. But so you listened to the radio, didn't you?
But I listened to a lot of radio.
Yeah, that's
even
good.
Though the radio up there is really bad.
Is it?
But so summers to me were never TV things. It would, you know, even now it seems kind of weird. But everything right now seems weird.
Seems kind of weird. And you know, just a little side thing. We were talking about, you know, screen time because we're always in front of a screen. And you gave me, you and Mike said, try these eye drops. Because, you know, my eyes are dry now because I'm always in front of a screen. Thumbs up on that.
Hey.
So that's just one effect. I mean, you know, I'm watching too much screen and my eyes are hurting.
Right. We have to
watch the rest of my body.
We have to watch screen for work. I mean, I got on my first Zoom call this morning at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's what, almost 6 o'clock and I'm still, you know, looking at the computer.
There you are.
So that's really a lot. All right, John, I saw a story about the TV shows that have been canceled for the 2019-2020 season. So some of them you probably already have heard of, but some of them are going to be new to you.
Okay.
And I thought as we're talking about turning off the tube, maybe if you find out that these shows are canceled, you're going to be like, well, fine then.
Okay,
I'm leaving. I'm not watching anymore.
Good.
You want to hear what they are?
Please tell me.
Okay. Anne with an E. Did you watch that? That was the Anne of Green Gables thing.
No, because I read about it and I heard it was kind of like a hardcore version of Anne of Green Gables.
Now, see, that just made me mad when I heard it too. And I thought, no,
I'm not watching that because I love Anne of Green Gables.
Right.
So don't mess with Anne.
Exactly.
Anne with an E.
Anne with an E. Okay. So Anne with an E is gone. Place is over.
You know what? I heard it's a great show.
Yeah.
I've never seen one episode of it.
Is it going to surprise you when I say it's been on for 4 seasons?
Really? That's Ted Danson, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Good Place.
I don't know a thing about it.
Okay. The show Power.
Don't know it.
I don't either. It was been on 6 seasons. Modern Family.
That's been around for a long time. Now, I don't think the show was canceled. It just ran its course, right?
It ended in April.
Okay.
Yeah. Ended in April. It was on for 10 years.
Whoa. I would say in many ways that was a revolutionary show for network television because what it did was it showed a gay couple in a family. And, you know, if you didn't know anybody who was gay before that, well, then there was a gay couple and it showed their life inside of a larger context of a family.
Yeah.
It humanized gayness in some
way.
I never saw that show.
Right?
Oh, it's
never
a good show.
Okay.
But people, you know, comes baggage.
Supernatural. That was on for 15 years, 15 long, sordid years.
Where was that on TV?
It was on like TBN, not TBN, Fox or one of those like littler, you know, TV stations or channels.
UHF channels.
Yeah, something like that.
Right. Did you watch
22,
it? Did you ever know it?
22. Oh, yeah. We watched a lot of it here in the house. It's horrible. It's a terrible show. It's
really Supernatural? Ridiculous. Is it?
Yeah, it's like a teeny bopper show.
Oh, okay.
It's really, finally 15 years. Okay. Dark.
Oh my gosh.
Your new passion's already canceled.
What? I'm only in season one. How many seasons are there?
Okay. Well, they're going to finish the third one and that's going to be it.
Oh, that's more than enough. I don't have much stamina whenever it goes. You know, me with Stranger Things, I did one season.
Yeah,
I'm done with that. When you start doing multiple, like 5, 6, 7, I don't have the time. It's making me work hard to get through season one.
Okay. All right. 13 Reasons Why, which I'm glad that's done.
I never heard of it.
Dear White People. Also done. It was 4+ seasons. Lucifer, on Fox, and then Netflix picked it up, and they didn't like it either. So Lucifer's done. Big Bang Theory after 12 years.
I know it. I've seen it maybe for like 15 seconds.
Criminal Minds.
Don't know it.
Criminal Minds, 15 years.
What?
It's going to end at the end of 2020.
Was that network? No, that could have been.
Yeah, that was network.
15 years.
Uh-huh. 15 years. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The Kids Are All Right, which was that show about the Irish Catholic family, 1972. It was like a big deal when it first came out. It was super popular, and then it just kind of fell off. So that's done.
I was sick that day. Sorry.
Arrow's done. The DC comic. No, you didn't know anything about that. Vikings is over. Finally, I heard that there were some historical inaccuracies there.
What about the Vikings?
Yeah. Suits is gone.
Don't know it.
Weren't you a fan of that? I liked Suits. I liked Suits. And then the language got really, really annoying.
I think I've got your DVD.
You have my DVD of Suits?
Yeah.
Okay. Once What's-Her-Name became a royal, they were like, we're done with the show. It's over.
That was on for 9 years.
Mr. Robot's over.
Oh, yeah. He won an Oscar, didn't he? Or he was up for an Oscar.
Maybe. I think so. Yeah. Is he up for an Oscar?
He was.
Okay.
Who's he? I don't know.
On The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That's done.
I watched season one of that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It had 4 seasons. Mm-hmm. Netflix is planning a follow-up movie, in case you're a fan.
Oh, okay.
Orange is the New Black is done after 9 seasons.
Could care less. Don't know about it.
Okay. Man in the High Castle's done after 4 seasons.
Doesn't bother me.
Veep. Also finished.
Uh-huh. I watched a few episodes of it. Filthy language.
All right. Homeland.
Don't care. Don't know.
Also done after 8 seasons. So anyway.
That's horrible. I'm not watching. What am I watching then? Nothing that's like mainstream.
No. But what is most amazing are how many of these are like 8+ years that they've been on the air.
Well, kudos to them. Right? Someone, had a good career doing those things.
But they're done. So take this time to turn off your TV and become intellectually and spiritually mature.
Right. I'm still waiting for reruns of Bonanza.
All right.
Okay.
That's a bad show.
No, it's a good show.
Oh, I know it's not.
Kidding me, Haas?
Get out of here. I watched one episode of it like six months ago. I was like, really?
What? That's a good show.
It was the only time I ever saw it.
All right. Take a break.
Hello, friends. It's me, Marcia, from the Springhouse. We are hoping you are all healthy and safe. Our family wanted to let you know that because our cows are requiring twice a day milking, the Springhouse is still open for you to stop by for your farm fresh from our herd milk and hot out of the oven breads and buns and meats and cheeses and cookies and anything that'll make life happy and comfy and easier during these uncertain times. Our buffet is still full of family recipe lunches and suppers every day to take home to eat at your own family table, and our catering team even created a special take and bake meal, which you can check out online. We even ordered in extra toilet paper in case any of you are in a pinch. We've been so blessed this last week by customers thanking us for staying open and, best of all, telling us that they're praying for us. We just wanted to let you know that we are praying for all of you, too. Here's a big hug from all of us at the Springhouse to you. We love you.
Seasons of change and uncertainty can be difficult, even scary, but they don't have to control or define you. The counselors of the Grace Wellness Center would consider it a privilege to come alongside and help you replace the fear and frustration with freedom and peace. While office visits are still available throughout the area, Grace Wellness Center also offers online and phone appointments to make counseling convenient and available on your terms, accepting all major insurances at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
As the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. This is the central theme of the new movie, Return to the Hiding Place, a film about Corrie Ten Boom and her family's heroic efforts to hide and save Jews from the Nazis during World War II. And about her secret army of teenagers. Watch this captivating movie tonight with your older children at salemnow.com and save 20% with the promo code MOVIE. Return to the Hiding Place at salemnow.com, promo code MOVIE.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, they do too. So whether you stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store, a Napa Auto Care Center, or visit Napa online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
All right. So all those shows that were canceled, Kath, I mean, it shows you how fleeting things are, right? And then the article we talked about where the guy turned off the TV set for a month. Are you more inclined now? You know, I mean, I feel like I've reached a saturation point. I just don't have my attention span, you know, that story notwithstanding of me lying in bed with one eye open watching my, you know, phone.
Which is a humiliation.
That's fine.
No, it isn't.
It's 5:30. I mean, you know, I got to watch something.
P.M.?
No. Oh. A.M. P.M.
Wait. We're doing the show.
I'm with you, George, the show. Here, look at this.
What? That's what John Hall's doing. What? He's laying in bed watching a movie.
It's a stay-home edition of The Ride Home. Hold on, Kevin. I got a question for that guy. What'd he say? Oh, never mind. Where's the chips? Nope.
Well, what the heck are you doing awake at 5:30 a.m. watching a movie in bed?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm kind of lost my mind, haven't you?
Clearly.
Have we not? I mean, I'm not alone. I am not alone in this. I'm sure that there are many people who are raising their hand going,
are not many people who are watching movies at 5:30 a.m. with one eye.
That is not true. I know people are. I know they are.
You hope they are.
No, I have no doubt that people are just like me. You feel better about yourself. Who are lost and confused and lying in bed with one eye open at 5:30 a.m. thinking, is it time to get up or should I watch another episode? That's all I'm saying.
All right. Have yourself a great night, Pittsburgh. Thank
you for being
with us.
God bless you all. God bless you.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.